This week's episode of This Is Only a Test is brought to you by Procurify. If you deal with purchase orders, expenses, or invoices, you'll want Procurify to help you streamline your spend management process. Whether that means making purchase orders painless or giving your whole team visibility on budgets, Procurify will help you with everything from requesting an item to paying for it. Start your free 5-day trial today at procurify.com/test and see how easy spend management is.
Ahoy hoy, we should begin the program.
Right.
Look at that fucking squirrel on my bird feeder.
And then suddenly, the Enterprise D's bridge.
Hello and welcome into This Is Only a Test. That's right. I'm really emphasizing the only.
That's right.
Part of this. I'm your guest host, Kishore. We'll see if I make it through to the end of the podcast. Joined, as always, by Mr. Jeremy Williams.
Hello. Greetings.
Hey, Jerome.
Hey, Will.
And spoilers, Will Smith is also here.
Hi.
Hello.
Not ahoy, that Will Smith. Ahoy.
Welcome back.
I'm A. Will Smith.
So let's just get this out of the way off the top. They took all the gear. We have band-aided this podcast
don't
together.
With you have it. A grown-up camera there.
Yeah, well.
None of us can work that.
Yeah, we don't know how to work it. So we'll see if we're in focus or if there's audio on this thing at all.
Now, we were out of focus 1 week, and I will take complete responsibility for that. But I focused this week. We should be good. We had to run to Walgreens for some SD cards.
I showered this morning. That should help with the focus.
Yeah.
No?
Well, once or twice a week. That's my goal on showers these days since I work at home.
You're on camera a lot these days. It is not it's not tested founder Will Smith. It's famous Twitch streamer, not that Will Smith.
So, look, I like the PUBG. It's not that even that I like the PUBG. I'm completely obsessed with the PUBG. I watch other people. I never kind of understood Twitch streaming for a long time. Gary and I have talked about this a lot, but I never really got why people would watch other people play games. And then I started watching people play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is PUBG. And it's a battle royale style survival shooter where you're dropped on an island out of an airplane with 99 other people and only one person walks away.
And you come in with nothing. You have
clothes
to
on your back.
Yeah, you have to loot and gather gear and go hunting.
I've known you to play a lot of video games. I've never known you to take on streaming like this though.
So I one of the things I used to watch my friends, a couple friends of mine, Chris Remo and Patrick Klepek play Spelunky every day, which is about a 4 to 20 minute, maybe an hour at the outside if you do really well. Daily challenge, and when you do the daily challenge, everybody plays the same map. So, you know, it's a roguelike, but this they would share the seed and everybody would have the same seed. And it was really fun to watch those guys progress over a 6-month period and start out terrible at the game and get really good at it. And I thought it would be fun to do that for me and have this, like, if I'm going to record, it's way easier, it turns out, to stream it than it is to just record it and save terabytes and terabytes of video footage. So people, like, I streamed a couple just kind of for funsies, and people were really into it. So I have started Twitch streaming. You can find me at twitch.tv/notthatwillsmith. Like and subscribe.
How many subscribers do you have?
I have 3,500 followers.
Wow.
I'm on the fence, but now I'm in.
And then I have, a few dozens of paid subscribers.
Paid.
People are paying me to play video games.
Income. What?
I almost have gotten enough money to pay for a webcam.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have like a legit green screen setup too.
So I had the green screen from mixed reality stuff that we experimented with at Foo a couple of years, like right at the very beginning, when Colin Northway and the guys down at what's the studio that made Job Simulator and
Alchemy
were experimenting with the mixed reality stuff. So I bought a $40 green screen from Amazon, and I already had the light stands. So like, yeah.
The most entertaining part of your stream is when you basically try to talk Gary down from being so terrified of being out there that game.
I'm proud of him. Like so the thing that you learn, this game, there's really stable progressions of skill that come in this game. Like your first your first instinct when you drop into that the first time is terror, right? The scariest thing the first time you play that game you'll see is another human being, right? So your instinct is to go find a house, get whatever's in it, loot all the guns that you can find, so get a shotgun, and then just go hide in the bathroom and wait for death to come for you. And then gradually you get more and more aggressive, and you kind of learn a little bit more about how the cadence of the game works. And eventually, like now I'm at the stage where I've realized if I'm not hunting someone, I'm probably being hunted. So I'm just full aggression all the time. You got to keep that momentum high. You got to keep after the people. You got to never let up, never step back.
How important is knowing that island?
Moderately important. I mean,
it does help.
It's more important to remember where the plane went, and that's going to give you a better idea of where you're likely to find people.
Oh, like so there's a line of people early in the map, at least early in the game.
Yeah, and there's a tool. I think it's called flightpath.net or something. Battlegroundsflightpath.net or something like that. And you click the start point and the end point of the airplane, and you can put it up on your other monitor. It'll give you a constant reminder of where. Where the people are likely to be, and it show because they're not going to be more than a kilometer in either direction from the flight path. That's totally fair. It's not like the people that like listen have audio apps that listen to their headphones and give them headings on where the shots are coming from.
Yeesh.
Well, more on games coming up soon. We are not at SDCC where the rest of the tested team is now. Diego Comic-Con?
San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, whale's vagina.
The annual convention of comic book collectors.
Yeah, it's comics only at this convention.
Nothing. I love going out comics. There, getting in the boxes, just going through them.
I know you talked about it a little bit on Still Untitled this week. You've gone to a lot of San Diego Comic-Cons. I've only gone to two. Jeremy, you haven't. Zero. Any laments not going?
I mean, the thing I said on Still Untitled is really... like. When I go to PAX, when I don't go to PAX, I feel some FOMO, right? Like I miss seeing my friends. I miss going and playing board games with a bunch of like fun randos and having a good time. With Comic-Con, it's really just about missing seeing my Comic-Con friends. Like I have a subset of people that I really only see at Comic-Con and other like cons like that. And I haven't seen him in a couple of years because I didn't go last year either.
Tonight's a night that I feel the FOMO because it's Woodstock night.
It's Woodstock night, yeah.
And Woodstock night is always just a ton of fun. So like last year I randomly ended up talking to David Silverman for a long time without knowing that it was David Silverman. And for those that don't know, David Silverman has been OG on The Simpsons for like forever.
Yeah.
And like The Simpsons were my parents on some level. So that was amazing.
I had a talk. I talked to him the last time I was there, and like it was all I could do to be a grown up and not be like, can I just ask you about my 8 favorite Simpsons episodes? It was pretty cool.
I'm sure the crew is having a great time, and there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out of there. I think Adam's first Incognito is today, and I believe looking at the schedule, he's going to do 3. So there's probably lots of stories to tell. Blast from the past. Happy Apollo 11 anniversary day.
It's the 48th, right?
48.
So, I mean, when you think about that, it blows my mind that we as a people collectively put hundreds of thousands or millions of people's work together to put, 10 people's feet on the moon, on another world?
I mean, it's a moon. It's not a world.
I mean, it's a world.
It's not a world technically.
Look, they traveled beyond the bounds of mostly the bounds of Earth's gravity.
This is true.
They went for 4 days.
So, like, just sort of fundamentally, I think what's happening with Cassini, which is the probe that's about to crash into Saturn, in its death spiral, is probably more impressive. Like the math of sending this thing halfway across the solar system and precisely crash into Saturn. Is probably more impressive
than 12 years?
Yeah, sending people on a couple-day trip up to the moon.
But it doesn't pull on the heartstrings, does it?
It doesn't.
Because there's not people involved.
And we had 20 years more technology before we launched Cassini. Because Cassini launched, like 93?
Yeah, like 97 years ago.
Yeah, so look, they sent people to the moon on the largest rocket we'd ever built. They built it with slide rules. Right, the entire computational power of the world at the time those rockets were launched was orders of magnitude less than we carry in our pocket every day, and they only had 2 mishaps in that whole process. So,
It's amazing. Like, I think it's one of the incredible heights of humanity. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up and turned on the TV this morning, I saw some of the depths of humanity, too, when like 6 TV networks are doing live coverage of O.J. Simpson's parole hearing, which just seems like, meh, I don't need to hear that. Well, but we'll let you know if
Trump
news
hasn't
breaks.
Tweeted yet this morning. So, you know, it's a slow news day for them.
I thought hitting the music, and Jeremy just did it.
Yeah. No, we're in sync, dude.
Yeah, we have this weird sync. D23 was last week. A few things broke out of it. Permission to really lose my
mind. There's 23 Diablos now?
Yeah. What it's amazing. The bow and arrow is still the best weapon in that game. I don't know.
What is D23? What is the 23?
That's the 23rd one.
No, it's always... Is it not always D23?
It was D22 last year.
No kidding.
No, it's not. What is the... 23 stand for?
I'm reasonably sure that the 23...
It's named in honor of 1923 when Walt Disney left Kansas City and headed for Hollywood.
Yeah. See, really? We all learned something.
So D23 is the official Disney fan club, and so they call it the D23 Expo.
I am profoundly disappointed that it is not the 23rd one of those.
I thought you were going to apologize.
No, I'm never going to apologize. How long have you known me, Jeremy Williams?
No apologies.
No apology necessary.
A few things dropped, and we're going to get to those. The thing that meant the most to me is there is footage from Infinity War displayed. And it's not public, so I'm not going to reveal what's in it. I haven't seen it because it was not shared online anywhere.
Why aren't you going to share what's in it?
I believe they're going to share it when the Hall H Marvel panel comes out. I bet you a trailer will drop,
you know,
which is like tomorrow or something.
You know what I saw yesterday? Somebody retweeted, do you remember 2 years ago at Comic-Con when the Star Wars the Force Awakens panel, they took everybody out of Hall H with one panel left to go in the day, and they went to do a concert in the field?
Yeah, gave everyone lightsabers. And,
right, and then Kevin Smith was the next guy up
to
do his normal
there.
Saturday Night Closer, and there were 6 people there, and there was one guy just tweeting what was going on. That thread came up. It remains. That might be the high watermark for Twitter. Because this guy was like, I can't believe I'm sitting in this panel and like Kevin Smith is here doing his thing and there's 6 of us and he's still going to do it. And, you know, then they all went and had a beer afterwards.
That's amazing.
And, with like, Kevin?
Kevin loaded up as many people as would fit in his limo.
No way.
In his car.
Really?
They got cabs for the rest of the people and they went and watched. They signed NDAs and they went and watched Yoga Hosers.
Wow.
Early cuts. Like the whole, as much of the movie as was cut at that time.
That sounded great.
I think
great.
On his laptop.
That sounded great up until the Yoga Hosers.
Okay, I've seen Yoga Hosers now. It's not, that movie is not for people in our demographic.
Back to the important news. Yeah. There is footage from Infinity War, and it sounds absolutely amazing. And in the unveil at D23, they also unveiled the Black Order will be in Infinity War.
What's the Black Order?
Black Order are technically referred to as the Children of Thanos, but they're really like his right hand. So there's 4 of them that will be in.
Would like Nebula and Gamora have been those people?
No, those are his actual daughters.
Okay.
Gamora's adopted. But
yeah, I was going to say she's green and he's blue, so it doesn't check out.
There's Corvus Glaive, he's like a military mastermind and really ruthless. There's Ebony Maw, who has like some sort of magical, neurological kind of powers. There's a Black Dwarf, who is this kind of giant character, just a brute.
But he's called a dwarf?
Yeah. It seems rude to me, too, but Thanos is a real asshole sometimes. And
I
then,
mean, maybe if he's a giant's kid, then he would be a little giant.
And Proxima Midnight, the token woman in the crew.
Okay.
But they're pretty badass, so I'm excited that Thanos will not be alone in his quest to destroy the Avengers.
I'm... Mm-hmm. It's possible that I'm feeling a little bit of Marvel fatigue.
Ooh. What?
Shots fired.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Every time I come on this show, you tell me about a major new character in the Marvel Universe that I'd never had heard of before in my life, right?
Jeremy,
I'm not a comic book guy.
Jeremy's feeling it, too.
But so I want to know, as a comic book fan, did they ever reveal a new character in the Marvel comic book universe, and you were like, we don't need another one. Just cool it.
Sure.
Okay.
There's some dumb characters.
Okay. But yeah.
There's a talking raccoon, Jeremy.
No, talking raccoon's fine. Rocket is good.
But you're on board with these children of Thanos.
These people are menacingly badass. Okay. So, yes, I'm totally on board with them.
All right.
Mantis, I can do without.
Now, she was a hit from the movie. Right.
What is, she's just like, people are feeling sad. She's the Deanna Troi of the Marvel
Wait,
universe.
Wait, you got beef with Deanna Troi?
Yeah, I have beef with Deanna Troi. Who wow. doesn't have beef with Troi?
Isn't she from some sort of weird sex planet?
No.
Oh, no, they're just nudists.
Yes, at the marriage, at the wedding.
Yes.
They just have different cultural norms.
Yeah, no, I'm not judging. I'm just saying. I meant like weird and like weird Twitter. It's a positive.
Well, I'm going to lose all of my money spending money on the figures that they unveiled, including the Infinity Gauntlet $500 box set.
Does it come with a real gauntlet that has all five real Infinity Stones that gives you the power over space and time? Because for $500, it fucking better.
Yeah.
I don't need an Infinity Gauntlet because I'm building one.
Right. Okay. But you want this one anyway, right?
Oh, sure. No, I mean, like, if it's available for purchase, yes.
Is it, like, life-size?
What, the Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah.
No. It's a box set that they're releasing. It's just, like,
does it have all of like,
the comic books.
Does it have all of the Marvel movies for $500?
No.
What, is it just Infinity Gauntlet? Infinity Wars 1?
It's a giant 5,000-page tome from the comic books.
Oh. It's comics, not movies.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, it doesn't have the gauntlet?
No.
Oh.
So for $500, I kind of expected to have the gauntlet. I'll be honest.
Still have to build that yourself. You know, I think the Infinity Gauntlet is going to cost less than $500 when it's done.
What's going to happen to Vision when he takes the stone from his head?
It's
not going to be good, right?
Not good.
Okay.
Not good, especially if Paul Bettany wants out of his contract.
Oh. I mean, he has... Okay, yeah.
I think a lot of not good is going to happen. I expect a lot of characters to die.
Well, I mean, presumably this is the time that the contracts are up and they're going to murder a bunch of people so that they can make way for wave two of the Avengers, including
Spider-Man.
Luminaries like Spider-Man and Squirrel Girl and Wolverine 2.
Hey,
and
don't hate on Squirrel Girl. Brought up the news about Squirrel Girl being in a show last week.
I got no beef with Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, see? Even Squirrel Girl. Not too ridiculous for me.
I think Squirrel Girl is pretty ridiculous.
It is super ridiculous. But John Barrowman cosplaying as Squirrel Girl a couple years ago was pretty great. All right. But let's get on to the interesting SDCC news.
Oh.
Did you see the Blade Runner props? Blade Runner 2049 props unveiled?
No.
Do you not follow Adam Savage on Twitter?
I follow a lot of people on Twitter, for sure.
Well, he shared some photos from preview night of the Blade Runner props, a new gun, some handcuffs, some fanciful handcuffs.
Ooh.
As Adam Rogers, friend of Tested Editor over at Wired, put it, he's like, am I going to have to change my Twitter handle to the serial number on those handcuffs? He's a massive Blade Runner fan. Props looked incredible.
I'm very excited about that movie because Villeneuve has done nothing bad as far as I'm concerned. Like, Sicario is one of my favorite movies of all time,
Sicario
probably.
Sicario is good.
I'm so nervous about that movie. I'm afraid. I haven't looked at anything. I watched that first trailer by accident because it was before something I saw in the theater, and I'm going in cold for the rest of it.
So you've joined the House of Joey where you avoid all trailers?
Joey knows what's up. Like, I go into stuff. Like, it is so awesome to go in things with no preconceived notions and just sit down. I sat down to watch Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't know that Kurt Russell was in that movie. I was like, holy shit, it's Kurt Russell! And I was really excited. I was very happy about that.
There's no question that's the preferable way to experience any movie. It's just difficult, and it takes discipline.
I'm not as active about it as Joey is. Like, if I'm in a movie theater, I don't close my eyes during the trailers.
Is that how he watches movies?
I think he leaves. I don't think he comes in after the trailers before the movie starts.
Wow.
He's
no, I mean, he'll do trailers, but he won't watch them.
Yeah.
You know, he'll do this number and meditate during them.
La, la, la.
Yeah. You don't want to sit next to him during the trailer because
he's going
to
ruin it for you.
La, la, la.
Yeah.
So you guys didn't watch then the Last Jedi behind the scenes bit from D23? It looked great. I think it gets me more excited. Mm-hmm. I'm a big trailer. I'll even read movie spoilers before I go see it.
Ew, yeah.
Is Daisy Ridley going to like cut some people in half with a double-bladed lightsaber? Because that would be pretty cool.
No, but there's definitely a lot of her running with a lightsaber in her hand.
That seems really dangerous. You're not supposed to run with scissors.
I know.
Somebody should talk to her.
Somebody.
What if she trips? She could accidentally like self-cauterize herself.
I feel like that's got to be the first part of her training is Mark Hamill being like, hey, slow down.
Don't run with that.
Why are you in such a rush?
I mean, she could use the force, presumably, so that she doesn't trip, or just she's like sweeping the rocks out of the way in front of her that she might trip over.
I would sort of love that if like if that's really what they use the force powers most for, is just not to fall down.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't have enough force left because you've been using it all just to keep yourself upright.
Honestly, I would like to see like a Luke Skywalker at home where he's just like using the force to make breakfast. He's like, pour the cereal, force. Give me that blue milk.
It's not magic. It's the force.
The stuff that I was most excited about out of D23 that I saw was the plans for Star Wars World.
Yeah, dude. Did we talk about that last week?
We talked about it briefly.
Holy hell.
The first images came out. Jeremy was most excited about how few people seemed to be in those models. Yeah, like, it would just roam freely.
Oh, you're talking about Star Wars World. I was thinking about the hotel, actually.
Oh, I just that, like, A, the fact that they still build these enormous models in the world of digital manufacturing.
For no purpose outside of marketing, it seems
No, I don't think so. I think actually there's a lot of purpose to those models. Because when you go to Disneyland and you see how they merge, how they transition from like Fantasyland to the main entry corridor on Main Street and all that stuff, and how seamless that is, and how they use trees to bury the sight lines and all that stuff. You could do that with VR, but I think it's still better with a physical model that they could put a little periscope camera in.
You don't think they could
do
that with just a typical computer modeling? I mean, that's how architecture is done. Why wouldn't it be different for this?
I think they definitely can, but I think they learn something. I think there are good reasons to do that in the real world and make a real model of it.
So are you excited about Star Wars Westworld experience, the immersive hotel?
Did we talk about that last week?
I don't think so.
What's the Westworld
I'm
hotel?
So excited for this. Yeah, I actually pitched it to my family already, like for 3 years down. So they're opening up a hotel in Disney World.
Yeah.
Which is not – it's a hotel you'll go to that's Star Wars themed where you won't go to the park. You'll go to the hotel like it's its own cruise experience. And you'll sign in. They only take reservations on a set cadence because there's an experience arc.
Wow.
So you go and you check in and you become a part of this narrative.
Do you have to wear costumes and stuff?
I assume that they encourage it.
Do they provide costumes?
Good question. But it's, it's enormously expensive. It's like cruise costs.
But it's all food included and all that? And they seal the doors so you can't get out?
Right.
Cha-chunk.
Well, all the windows are made to look like you're in space.
So what?
Even in your cabin, the windows are LCD panels and you're in outer space and the whole room is structured to be, a starship and you're sleeping in these pods. And the bar in the lobby area looks like it's like a spared no expense level of detail.
Wow.
It's amazing.
I mean, we have only seen that couple render shots, so we don't know how it is, but, somewhere upwards of $1,000 a guest.
A land cruise where you don't actually have to get on a boat sounds much like a much better cruising experience to me.
Well, if it's Westworld-like, too, where you get to interact with characters and have unique storytelling that's actually you can revisit. That would be amazing.
So I've done some like escape rooms where they have actors portraying characters. I find it so just spectacularly uncomfortable to interact with people who are being paid to like it's all the things that I don't like about interactive theater. And so I'm interested to hear what people say about this when they actually roll it out, because that is a hard thing to do.
Disney's been doing this for eons, though. Like, they have all the characters in masks that don't talk, but all the ones who don't wear masks do talk. And they envelop the characters, and the kids go up to them, adults do, and they're very good at improvising.
But there's a very big difference between, like, good for kids and good for me, I think, right? Like,
it's
my daughter...
possible the Star Wars hotel is not for you. It's possible. But
no. No. Never.
I don't know how many 8-year-olds have $1,000 a person to spend on a hotel.
Yeah, right.
Like, unless there's a Mos Eisley spa in the corner that we can go dump the parents off at, and you get your... Yeah, your Junlin Wace mud masks.
You think there's a spa in Mos Eisley? That's not the Mos Eisley I remember.
There's a 1% everywhere, Kishore.
That's funny.
Where do you think Jabba goes when he's in town? He doesn't go stay down at the Tatooine canteen.
Oh, he clearly has one on retainer. A massage therapist on retainer.
Right. That Kowakian monkey comes in and gets all sorts of places you don't want to know.
The thing that came out of D23 I was most excited about
really
was about my favorite Pixar movie.
High five, brother.
Wall-E?
Incredibles,
no,
right?
Incredibles.
I was going to say, I hope they're making Wall-E 2.
Well,
harder.
We're going to ruin Mars.
We knew Incredibles 2 was in the works.
Yeah, we've known for a long time.
But now we know a little bit.
What did we find out?
Is Brad Bird doing it? Is he in charge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good.
It begins right where the other one, where the first one left off.
With the mole?
With the Underminer.
Underminer. Yes, yeah. The mole man.
And wasn't that voiced by Cliff Clavin?
I assume that's an Elon Musk joke.
Oh, that's funny. Well, now it would be.
Yeah,
it's
a boring, the boring guy, the boring bad guy.
Brad Bird knew something. Yeah.
Which
years
is interesting
ago.
Because there was a video game that picked up there. Like there was I never played it, but there's an Incredibles video game that almost acted like a sequel.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I bet that probably wasn't a very good game.
Because you didn't play it?
Well, because nobody talked about it, and if it was good, people would have talked about it.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you stream it on Twitch. I'll watch it.
I played A Bug's Life, the game. It's not good.
Yeah.
Now I'm interested to check out the video game, see what the plot was, get a little preview.
It's not canon. They're going to throw it all out. They're going to throw out years of Incredibles 2 / fiction and shipping and like it's yeah.
But I really like spoilers.
It was by THQ. Let's see it. Mixed reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. For kids.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
6.5.
I love The Incredibles. Like we just watched The Incredibles with my daughter for the first time a few months ago.
Yeah.
Like it is. That movie is perfect. Like, it's such a baller move to come back and say, hey, we're going to make a sequel to this movie that was perfect. I mean, I guess they've done it a bunch of times already with kind of mixed results.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been a complaint. Like, I saw Cars 3 and I was like, this trend needs to stop.
My 4-year-old didn't want to go see Cars 3. She was like, I didn't like the last Cars movie.
Dad. Ooh, she is right. Good taste.
Yeah.
Wow. The Incredibles is a family movie. Yeah, I mean,
it's a movie about
families. Not in the sense that it's for families, which it is, but it's about families.
Yeah.
And it did this remarkable thing where it had arguments between the family members where you understood everybody's position. It wasn't one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. And supposedly this takes that as well. It carries that torch. So I cannot wait.
I'm excited about it, too. One other trailer. I know Will hasn't watched it, but our friend Guillermo del Toro has a new movie coming out called The Shape of Water.
Yeah, trippy, man.
It's a little bit of a departure. It is the first Guillermo del Toro rom-com.
I don't know, but like, that's not even fair.
What do you mean? That was clearly a romantic comedy trailer.
You use a term like that, and suddenly it goes in that category in the video store when it really, you know, it shouldn't. It should go in foreign films.
Just because there's a monster involved?
Well, because it's otherworldly.
Oh, it looked good. It was like a Paul Thomas Anderson, Guillermo del Toro, like just all over the place kind of stuff. Wes Anderson is what I
right.
heard.
Okay, that's
not
more,
Paul
that's
Thomas
better.
Anderson.
Yeah, I think it's an awesome trailer. You should watch it.
All right, let's go on to some tech news. Technology news. All right, let's start with how you guys celebrated the week of action against net neutrality. To protest against net neutrality last week, which seemed to take over most of the internet.
I changed all of the emoticons on my Twitch channel to a circle loading circle.
You actually did?
No, it just did it automatically.
Oh, okay.
That was Twitch's way of letting people know.
That's what Reddit did.
Yeah, it was a good call.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first time I went to Reddit that day, they actually had a pop-up, you know, where and it like ticked across like 300 baud modem, and you would read it. But then they permanently made their upper left-hand corner logo load slowly.
So this might be unpopular, but why are we still doing this? Not why are we protesting net neutrality, which I'm definitely in favor of maintaining that. But I feel like this same protest has been happening for a decade, it feels now. I have the fatigue of it.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you a secret. Guess who doesn't like network neutrality?
Comcast.
Verizon, Comcast, AT&T, any of the big ISPs, Charter, Time Warner. I think those are all. Some of those are the same now. I can't remember which ones got bought by which. If you're a big business, it would be really nice to charge people on both sides of the thing. Charge Netflix for carriage, and then charge the users for getting faster access to Netflix, right?
Or promote your own content.
You mean your X1 TV internet application,
or maybe it's called NBC.
Yeah.
So what is your suggestion? We should stop protesting?
No, I would. It's not that I just feel the fatigue of it. Like it's. I feel like we've been running in place.
Well, why don't the legislators feel fatigue?
Well, see, they get checks. Is the way it works. People pay them money to feel certain ways about things, regardless of what the people that elect them want them to feel. So
I mean,
here we are. We have a corrupted, fucked up system.
I shouldn't feel fatigue. I just do. I mean, and I don't know if other people do as well. But, you know, I didn't take part as much as I have in years past this time around, even with the news that the Trump administration has sort of cleared the way for the FCC to make a decision to essentially overturn net neutrality.
Yeah, I just assume we're marching toward a Blade Runner dystopian future instead of Star Trek at this point. So,
but then we'll get a giant Atari logo out of nowhere.
But Atari's bad now, so that doesn't really help us a whole lot.
I don't know. We got some Atari news coming
up. The holding company that owns Atari is a pretty skeezy, is my understanding. Anyway, I mean, there's a lot of arguments for and against net neutrality. The one for against seems to be that the market works itself out, which makes perfect sense if we lived in a sane world where there was a lot of ISP choice on any markets, really. I mean, right here in San Francisco, we have limited access to some alternative ISPs, but for the most part, if you want something that's faster than 20 megabits down, Your options are Comcast and Comcast.
Or move in next door to Norm and get Sonic. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I'm getting Sonic.
I mean, in January.
Yep.
But the vast majority, like my parents don't have, they have no ISPs, right? They live in rural America. They can't even get DSL.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what happens in most urban areas, even there's one cable provider and that's it. Some people have high-speed WANs or wireless networks. There's some other stuff like that that's coming online, but it's slow. And, you know, the nice thing is because Sonic is pushing into San Francisco, now Comcast is offering gigabit for a $50 upgrade over their base plan or $70 upgrade over their base plan.
Which is expensive.
It is, but at least it's available. It wasn't available. Like, if you wanted to get faster than when we were doing tested video, started doing video with tested, we were looking at getting faster than 10 megabit upstream, and you just couldn't get it. There was no option.
But this net neutrality isn't about your internet connection. It's not about how fast your pipe
is. Well, no, but the point is, with no competition at the local area, there's no opportunity for one provider to say, yeah, we believe in net neutrality. We're not going to filter your shit. Let Comcast do what they want, and you can take this other alternative. You know, if your options are AT&T and Comcast, there's no alternative, and thus all of your market pricing arguments against network neutrality go away.
Yes,
because there's no competition.
No consumers should be against net neutrality.
I mean, that's how I feel too. But I think more importantly than that, I feel like the internet has become a public utility, and we don't quite treat it as such in this country yet.
Yes,
I mean. How hard is it to find a job without the internet now? Almost impossible.
Absolutely. I also I heard something interesting that, you know, local municipalities have given when companies lay down fiber, they give over a monopoly to it. And that's just not how it is in Europe and other areas, that fiber is equally accessible by other companies.
Well,
so, those, I think, are hurting people, too, even though that's not part of networking.
It's a different thing. But I mean, we don't have the public infrastructure projects that we used to. Right. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely worse off for that. If you look at the cities and actually we've had state legislatures even that have actively worked against having municipal ISPs and things like that. So it's kind of a bonkers situation. I'm. It's frustrating.
Well, keeping up our throwback episode so far, Google Glass is back.
I can't believe this.
I can't wait to go wash my hands in a public bathroom.
It's got to be like full-fledged AR stereo vision by now, right?
Well, it has Bluetooth in it, at least.
It had Bluetooth before.
Well, yeah, they just enabled it.
No, they just upgraded Bluetooth. They released a hardware update like 2 or 3 weeks ago out of nowhere.
Oh, boy.
So Google Glass 2.0 is basically the same thing. Right?
What is it?
It has a slightly bigger screen, as I understand it.
Okay.
But it's generally the same thing. It's just clear glasses with, looks almost exactly the same, has a dongle that comes around the side.
Does it clip onto existing glasses, or do you have to wear their weird glasses still?
Good question. Did the last one not, you couldn't get a
glasses?
The last
one you had to get custom frames with a weird cutout in the corner that nobody could cut lenses for.
But they clearly show that this is not a consumer product. Consumers are just going to make fun of it. So are they going after consumer again?
No, this is it's an enterprise thing. It's for people who want a heads-up display and need hands-free, basically.
Oh, like manufacturing and whatnot.
Yeah, there was a compelling
repair,
video
yada, yada.
Of somebody doing repair work on a big server, and it took them an hour without and 40 minutes with, and it's compelling.
I assume that they're also looking for people who want to get an extra. Like, one of the things that was really useful was to hop in a Hangout and have somebody be able to see what I was seeing and give me feedback. So,
oh, the video.
So
stream.
You stream video out. Somebody else who's maybe not with you on site can see what you're doing, mm-hmm. and they can say, oh, you know, hey, that looks weird. And if they've updated the cameras, because, you know, at the time it came out, it was a probably 2013 era cell phone camera, which wasn't great, especially by their standards. If they have the same kind of sensors that are in the mm-hmm. Pixel or the iPhone 7 or whatever, then that's a big upgrade.
So you were in on the last one, Will. Are you doing it again?
I didn't pay for the last one.
Oh.
All right.
No is the answer.
No. Yeah, that was a clear no.
But guys, you can get Snap spectacles from Amazon now. You don't have to go to that machine in Venice Beach.
Are they $200? How much are they?
I think they're $120 or something like that.
Hey, that's a good deal.
Is it? Is it, Jeremy? How much do you snap? How much snapping do you do?
It's not for me.
I think we have a pair here at the office.
Yeah, Norm has a pair.
Yeah. And we used to have a pair of Google Glass, but it got lost in the move.
Oh, that happens.
I think.
All right.
Somewhere, somebody has the tested Google Glass pair.
It's probably in that storage unit, so I had to guess.
Yeah, saving 20 minutes on server repairs as we speak right now.
Look, yeah.
Go to the next story. This is good. I wouldn't tell me about this.
So the next story is about what happens when you allow the Japan Aeronautics Administration to send a drone onto the ISS.
Is that JAXA? Is that what
JAXA.
I love the look of this guy.
And so when Japan makes a robot, it's going to be cute. There's going to be a kawaii coming out of that thing all over the place.
It looks like Jibo, kind of.
It does look like Jibo. Jibo.
Jibo!
Jibo!
Where's Jibo? Is Jibo out yet?
I think Jibo's dead.
No. Jibo. I saw news about Jibo the other day. They were accepting pre-orders. Right.
Anyway. Well, this is a drone that's a sphere that is adorable. It looks like it has eyes on it.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's floating. It's essentially sort of like in this stationary tethered position on the ISS.
Oh, wow.
But it can be remote controlled from Earth.
It's bigger than I expected.
How does it propel itself?
I have no idea.
Fans. Well, I mean, why not?
Cuteness. Kawaii.
Look, it could have a couple of gyroscopes and a fan for propulsion, and that would totally do it.
Oh, they should have asked you to design it.
Yeah, I'm halfway there.
It does have 12 propellers in it.
There you
Seriously?
Go.
Seriously?
Yeah. It does. Inside. It only weighs 2 pounds.
Well,
it weighs nothing in space.
Yeah.
Oh.
It has a mass of 2 pounds.
Snap back on me.
This is so cool. So what's the point of it?
It's for remote monitoring of what's going on the ISS. It can also interact with the people aboard the space station.
How many people has it murdered on the space station so far?
Has it taken
See,
over?
See, here's the thing.
Will it open the pod bay
doors?
I
think it's replacing them, so we just don't know yet.
So there's time. What else can it do? Can it, like, help you? Can it, like, hand you the extra towels when you're sponge bathing yourself or anything like that?
I think it warms up toilet seats. Like, what other?
Really? That's really nice.
I would, honestly, I think this must be great for the astronauts.
I didn't think there was a toilet seat on the space toilet. I think it's just, like, stirrups and a tube. A
giant vacuum.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a legitimate point here.
Yeah, we heard you.
So, Jeremy, have you ever listened to this show before?
I mean, there's... They have themselves up there and nothing else.
It's the same thing.
This is a umbilical to the Earth.
Yeah, it's totally the same play as the Google Glass for Enterprise. It like can help with efficiency.
Smaller market though.
Yeah, slightly smaller. Only applicable to like 6 people at a time.
This is a thing that NASA has experimented with over the years a lot. Like they used to have, I don't know if they ever actually made them, but they had prototype space drones. That looked almost like the target laser from the Millennium Falcon in Star Wars, like little that could zip around.
The practice droid.
Right, the practice drone. They had the just torso, the disembodied torso robot with the head and the torso and the arms. I don't think they ever sent that one up either. So if this is there, it's cool. This is a good thing.
Yeah, I like it.
I like one for the house. I need that anti-gravity drive though.
It's time to talk about some games.
Video games, eh?
Atari has something new.
Oh,
not just appearing in Blade Runner trailers anymore.
What a weird announcement. You know, it's so early. They've announced that they will be announcing a new console, right? And they have some renders up. And sign me up, dude.
This announcement to the announcement?
Yeah, I mean, this. I love the retro styling.
Tell us about what the Atari box
looks like. All we know is what it looks like. It looks like a flat set-top console, so it's not like a Switch. It doesn't have a screen. It has wood paneling on the front in one design, which is reminiscent of the 2600. And you can get it in a solid red panel if you so choose.
What would you want an Atari box to do? Like, do you want just a powerful gaming system? Do you want something that's all retro, nostalgic? What are you looking for?
I have no idea, but I'm curious. I'm on board because I love the styling of it. If it's reasonably priced and it does something interesting, I'll get it because I love it. I love the way it looks, and I'm sure that it could be fun. But if it just runs 2600 games, that's not interesting.
There's too many emulators.
And not only that, but like 2600 was not to the point where it's both nostalgic and fun to play.
Those games are not good.
They're not good. Like, once you get to the 8-bit stuff, then it's like actually playable and interesting still.
You don't like controllers that murder your hands?
It's not the controllers. It's the games. It's just they were way too restrictive.
Like, what are the games you actually would want to play on the 2600
only one
now?
I don't know if I need to play it on an Atari box, but Adventure was my favorite Atari game.
Okay, Adventure is a fine game. You know, you can beat it in like 3 seconds just by going left.
No replayability. Combat is great.
Combat is good. I would say maybe like Breakout.
Sure.
But if you go back and play like Empire Strikes Back, which was probably my all-time favorite
Defender was okay.
game, it's not good.
Yar's Revenge. I had some longevity to it. There's one, what is it, like Icebreaker, where you're jumping down the little... pieces of ice, whatever. Yeah. The games aren't great. That's the problem. They don't look good, and they have limited, you know, playability. But if they also, you know, this is the company that later made San Francisco Rush. I mean, they have a lot in their catalog. I don't know if they still own it all.
But I'm just trying to think, what's the niche they can operate in? Because, you know, Microsoft has clearly made we are going to be the most powerful gaming system out there. You know, Nintendo has its own sort of like category that it's sort of carved out.
But they have, and they're doing the classic consoles and the Switch.
Yeah. So
who knows?
Where does this fit?
I don't know.
Is Atari still doing well? So the classic consoles are just a buzz thing, right? Sure. it's a minimal expense to get a lot of free press and do some marketing, and then really disappoint shitloads of fans when they can't sell enough.
Right. But given their success, you could see why Atari might think, let's do the same thing.
But is Atari even a real company anymore? I thought Atari was, like, the Atari name went with Infogrames, and then it got sold off to some holding company. So, like, it's like Commodore, right? So it's a defunct brand. It's a brand with no... It's not like they have a giant team of developers and publishers and stuff behind them, do they?
It's not like Nolan Bushnell is behind this.
Nolan Bushnell is he's still fixing Chuck E. Cheese robots back down in San Mateo last time I heard.
Oh, I need to see an image of that.
Damn,
of Nolan Bushnell still working on a Chuck E. Cheese robot.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know that this is a thing that needs to exist. I am. Is it crowdfunding or is it a real product that you can order?
No,
what's wrong with you?
What?
What's wrong with you? Like, the world doesn't need an Atari console right now. We have so much crap. This can be a dream.
You think more crap is a good thing?
As long as it's a hypothetical, could be anything. This is kind of interesting. Once they announce that it actually is crap, then
okay,
fair enough.
I withhold my judgment until they announce that it actually is crap.
There you go.
All right.
They didn't show a controller either. I want the Crippler. If they're going to do the controller, it needs to have the soft, squishy bottom and everything.
If it doesn't hurt your thumb, it's not Atari. speaking of crap, have you guys tried Nintendo Voice Chat yet?
Oh, boy.
What is that?
I don't have a Switch. I can't do it.
So you don't need a Switch to try Nintendo Voice Chat, I don't think. It's an app for your phone.
Oh, sure. Really?
For your phone.
Remember, the Switch doesn't have a headset. There's no microphone. So if you want to do voice chat in, like, for a console that released now two interesting multiplayer, one amazing multiplayer game with Mario Kart 8, one interesting multiplayer game with ARMS, and Splatoon comes out tomorrow. Splatoon 2 comes out tomorrow. They don't have onboard voice chat, which, like, look, until I started playing PUBG and Overwatch, I was like, yep. Yeah, I don't need voice chat in video games anymore. Now I just sit around and talk to my friends while we murder and or get murdered people.
Yeah. You're on Discord.
Discord.
Yeah.
Discord's a good way to just to voice chat with friends, find games, all the stuff that you don't have the services to do anymore. This is an app that lives on your phone. It's flawed in many important ways. The biggest one, I'm not going to get into the specifics, but the biggest one is that when you, if you want to use voice chat, you have to set up lobbies on the phone and in the game, and there's multi-step processes. Hmm. If you want to continue talking to your friends in the game, well, first off, there's no easy way to merge audio from the game and audio from the voice chat app on your phone, like without getting a Y adapter for your headphones.
What's the point of this app?
You need to be able to communicate with your team in Splatoon.
But does it sync? Does it sync up? Why can't I just call my friends?
Jeremy Williams, you just asked the $1 question from Nintendo.
I mean, my son does this. He FaceTimes with his friends while they play Minecraft or Splatoon. Course.
That's a perfectly sane way to do this.
Is the problem with that you can't do group calls, and this allow you to do a Discord-style group chat?
Well, I mean, you could use Skype to do group calls. There's any number of services that will allow you to do group calls. So, yes, this will let you do group calls. Presumably, it will become more integrated with the game. Like, the game's not out yet, so I haven't been able to test this myself, and everything we know is from reading Kotaku and Engadget and talking to people who have early access to the game.
I see.
But it seems like you set up the lobby in the game, then you go set up a lobby in the voice chat app. The big problem I have, aside from the not being able to hear the voice chat in your headphones, you have to get one-sided headphones or something, I guess, or use one of your AirPods if you're an AirPod person. And then if you close the app, if your phone turns off, if you get a phone call or a text message or something that bumps you out of the app, you drop from that session, and then you don't reconnect until you open it up. So unless the screen is on the phone, you're with that app open, you're not going to get voice chat, which is unfortunate.
I totally get why Nintendo does not include voice chat in their consoles, and I'm in favor of it because I have little kids who play these games, and it can... Well, you know what? Yeah. And even the Plants vs. Zombies PlayStation game, it gets a little shady.
I don't want my daughter... Like, I'm fine having my daughter play Mario Kart online when the worst thing that they can say is I'm using tilt controls.
Yeah.
I don't want her exposed to the raw internet at this point.
But why then make this app? That's confusing to me because this is a Nintendo branded app.
Here's the thing: the game design of Splatoon. It's a team based shooter.
Yes,
you've played.
Yeah,
you have spent some time with it. You need to be able to communicate with the people on your team if you're going to play at a high level. And I think that they're making a push that this is a high level competitive shooter for kids, and that's where we are.
No, that's weird. All right.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a console wouldn't be a Nintendo console if they didn't do like 200 things really perfect and then spectacularly fuck up one really crucial part of it. So here we are. Awesome. Also, the multiplayer they're going to charge for, remember. So that's an exciting add-on to this whole thing. That doesn't start until next year.
All right, it's time to enter the shower.
Oh, wait, I get to play this. Check it out. There's a new one.
Oh, I'm getting uncomfortable.
And so we enter Elon's shower.
Wow. You actually have done it, you monsters.
Yeah,
Norm goes away for a couple of weeks, you look at what you've done. Look at what you've done!
All right, let's talk about some Elon Musk news. First of all, breaking news today that, according to a tweet, why 2017 is the year of according to a tweet? Elon Musk says he has verbal commitment from the government to allow the Boring Company to drill a hole from New York to Washington, D.C.
You think our dear leader just sent him a DM? Is that what? I mean, I guess that wouldn't be verbal, but.
Whoa, New York to D.C.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, clearly that transit corridor is a massive opportunity. People take the Amtrak and flights all the time. There's an immense amount of travel and infrastructure needed in between those cities. But this all seems a bit fanciful.
It's probably going to end in Penn Station and be a real shit show, right? Like, I don't want to go to Penn Station any more than I have to.
I don't know, man.
I mean, but would you take a Hyperloop from New York to Baltimore?
I've taken the Acela, that's it. Yeah, I've taken that. It's nice. I would take something that's faster than that and be really happy about that. And look, if I'm going to die in a train crash, why not have it be buried thousands of feet under the ground instead of on the surface where rescue personnel can come get me?
If this could actually be a play for taking trucks off the road, I think this is exceptional. Forget the consumer.
I don't see that happening.
You think he's building a packet switch traffic network?
That would be amazing, though, right?
Trucks? No. The trucks are too big, and they're too loaded with cargo. They're going to own the roads. It's everything else is going to go underground. That's what I think.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to go to shore on this one.
I think there will be autonomous trucks. But, I mean, I think going cargo underground would alleviate so much traffic.
What was the movie that had the autonomous trucks that were just the beds with the containers on them? It was something I saw recently.
I mean, are you thinking of like the new Total Recall where they had like giant barges go through the center of the earth?
No, I'm never,
transport?
Never, ever.
You're never, ever
the new Total Recall.
Fair enough.
It was something that came out in the not too distant past. Maybe it was Interstellar or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it had robot trucks that had no cabs. So it was just the truck with four wheels under, the container with four wheels under it driving on the road. It was really
interesting. All right. You let us know what movie that is. But Elon wasn't done. He announced that he's going to drill a hole from New York to D.C.
Yeah.
It's a boring company hole, so it's boring.
It's boring. But he also met with a number of governors this week.
Yep.
And introduced an idea. Because he thinks there is a great threat facing us today.
I think there's definitely a great threat facing us today.
But he thinks it's artificial intelligence.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking about.
And he actually lobbied for regulating AI.
Well, yeah. He didn't stand up there. That wasn't the purpose for his talk, I don't think. But he did make very, very strong suggestions that it needs to be regulated preemptively. He's
been concerned about this for a while.
Exactly.
Also, yeah. Stephen Hawking is on this list, isn't he?
Of people concerned about AI?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Smart people are concerned about AI. And he's afraid that if the way that regulations usually work is that there's a industries rise and then there's a public outcry because they've become too powerful, and then the government takes a couple years to create legislation that regulates the industry and brings things back in the check. But Elon suggests that AI, if we follow that same pattern, AI will become too powerful by the time that we regulate it, and it will be too late.
So, are either of you worried about this?
I mean, look, the science fiction. I'm much less smart than Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking, goes without saying.
Thank you for saying that. That's very modest of you.
If orders of magnitude, Jeremy, the science fiction common wisdom on AI is that once we have a computer that's truly intelligent, it can start modifying itself. It will very, very quickly evolve until it's not just a little bit smarter than us or as smart as us. It will become orders of magnitude more smart than us very, very quickly. And Elon's point is, if that happens, then you know, waiting 3 days, much less 3 years to regulate will be too late. I mean, we use some machine learning stuff in what we do right now. I'm not real concerned about that happening in the current 5 to 10 year time frame that he's talking about. This is off in the future problem, not a today problem, from where I sit.
Yes, but nonetheless, the preemptive argument I think holds.
So what's the regulation? Like, you just put an axe over, like on a with a thread over the power cord in for the computer, and once it passes a certain test, you cut the thread.
Some Congress people asked that, and he said, you know, let's just start with the education. Let's just have legislators start to educate themselves about where AI is and where the track is.
Good God, man! They can't understand the internet. Why would we think that? Like, I barely understand machine learning stuff.
What about an AI registry? Would you be for that?
I
would not.
Separate but equal for the AIs? That's not okay, Kishore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sending us down that path.
I think the problem with this really is that we can only regulate our own country, and that we have to stay competitive, and there's a balance act to be struck there.
So you're saying we should enslave the AIs and use them to compete against our nationalist enemies?
I think AI will be enslaved.
That's grim.
Don't you?
I mean, it sucks for the AI.
Yep.
How has that worked out for us every other time we've enslaved people or things that are sentient?
Well,
not so well, right?
I don't hear anything about the ants complaining.
Well,
they serve our needs well.
Yeah,
look, the bees.
When the cows rise, though, and the chickens rise, we're going to have real fucking problems.
Well, I mean, the cows have their fart protest against us every
day. Right, but the chickens are basically tiny velociraptors. Once they arm themselves, we're all doomed. That's all I'm saying.
It's really when they can turn door handles that we're in trouble.
Elon said, like, almost word for word, until robots are walking down the street killing people, no one's going to have a problem.
Well, look, we're already, like, we're sowing the seeds of our doom in terms of robots right now. Self-driving cars are people murdering machines. when we have the roads filled with self-driving cars, the AI take over, they're just going to start mowing us down.
You don't think the automation that's going to be generated by AI, that job loss, that's when I think it's going to come out. It's none of these sci-fi scenarios.
Look, the computers are going to have to thin the herd because of the job loss. And then, you know, then next thing you know, we're all going to be put in these pink pods and they're going to call us Copper Top.
Well, at least we'll be batteries for the AIs.
That math didn't work out on that. No, well, it didn't.
You know, both the Wachowskis said they would take the blue pill.
Really?
Yeah. They said they would go back to sleep.
I mean, knowing what I know about the red pill now, I probably would take the blue pill too.
I have to spend a little bit more time thinking if I can handle sepia on my entire life.
Did you guys know that those were? Did you know that those were NyQuil? They were DayQuil and NyQuils.
The
actual pills.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah. It wasn't sepia. It was green.
Oh, okay.
Sepia is like red.
Okay, fine.
Brown red.
Fair enough. One last bit of news from the shower, and that's the Red Dragon capsule, which Elon had made big hay of, I think just last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He had a long shower.
Yeah, the capsule to send humans to Mars. That project is officially dead, and because he's focused on a different technology to get us to Mars.
He's going
to
build a tunnel. That's straight through the planet. I know how this works.
I think we need Norman here now.
There was another thing. There was something else this morning. I can't find the article right now, but like the House voted unanimously to deregulate, like to remove restrictions on autonomous cars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
the U.S. House?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
And so, which is something that he also said in that same talk, is that once, you know, regulations, once they go into place, they don't go away. Mm-hmm. And regulations, we need regulations sometimes, mm-hmm. but sometimes we need to know when to scale them back. And I think he's clearly speaking from frustrations inside Tesla. Huh.
I mean, we've talked about this on Still Entitled in the past. I feel like the self-driving car thing is going to be really great until the first few people, until there's a bad accident. And then there will be hearings, there'll be people talking about it. We have
What's crazy about that is that that'll be covered intensely because it's new, but the math of it is that we are terrible drivers.
Oh no, humans, no doubt,
right? And so the math is, even if they are just as good as us out the gate, which they'll probably be better than us.
Well, but I guess my point is, you know, when self-driving cars was Google and Carnegie Mellon and a handful of people that are among the smartest people in the world, you know, doing this thing and putting this new technology together, I think we all agree that was probably okay. The thing that I'm worried about is now we're looking at, you know, B level, C level companies and people with really questionable morals like Uber doing self-driving cars. And you know, Uber's history is that they break the rules and ask forgiveness later, or maybe they don't even ask forgiveness. They just break the rules. And I'm not super comfortable with that in a self-driving car context, you know, where it was okay when they were going up against the cab companies. So like
Uber broke rules in terms of competing with cab companies, but they haven't broken rules about doing self-driving
tests. Don't know.
Well,
and they did came here
in California because they did it without DMV approval.
Yeah.
But then they were called on it and they left. They went to Utah
again. Yeah. They forgiveness, not permission.
No.
Yeah.
Right. You know, when we have, we're going to have there's some sticky ethical situations, right? We're going to have train problems galore with self-driving cars. And I want the best minds working on that stuff, not the chuckleheads in Congress or the guys that ran Chrysler into the ground.
The legal liability problems are going to be really functionally interesting of who's responsible.
Absolutely.
We have a message from Norm.
Oh, yes, I suppose we do.
A missive.
We want to thank the other sponsor of this week's episode, and that's HPZ Workstations. HPZ Workstations offer maximum performance through unique HP technologies so that you can go beyond the basics to maximize your productivity, make IT management easy, and deliver a complete workstation experience. Plus, HPZ Workstations are highly customizable, offering a range of features that you can mix and match to build your ideal configuration. It's the flexibility and functionality you need to easily expand and suit your evolving needs into the future. Not to mention, HP offers free shipping and returns every day, as well as free customer support 24/7, 365 days a year. So you can get the professional advice and support from the ones who know HP products best anytime. And right now, you can get an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 15% off select HP workstations with Intel Core i5 processors when you go to hp.com hp.com/test and enter the code onlyatest at checkout. That's hp.com/test using the code onlyatest to get 15% off select HP workstations. This special discount is valid through July 31st. So whether you have a small business that's looking to grow or you're established and ready to take the next step, HP's workstations with Intel Core i5 processors are for you.
Moment of Science. We have an entirely Google-themed edition of A Moment of Science this week. First off, there was a Wall Street Journal investigative report that came out detailing how Google has been purportedly paying academic researchers to write to author favorable studies about Google itself.
Oh, that doesn't sound Google. That's evil.
Well, they dropped the no evil thing when they switched to Alphabet. Now it's all evil all the time.
So it's kind of, I read the source article and there's been lots of rebuttal to it from the academic world. I think the original Wall Street Journal article is way overstated. It implies that Google is directly handing checks to professors and then they would write, author these studies that generally had Google in positive light. It was much more indirect and murky, where they would give a gift to a university and professors that worked in departments that that Google indirectly funded were already studying Google and would release
So it's like climate science, climate science is what you're saying, basically.
Yeah, and so there's questions about disclosure on a few papers, but it's a small set. But the Wall Street Journal also picked off a number of researchers that actually have no financial ties to Google whatsoever. They clearly didn't get any money. And so it's kind of messy, complicated, because government funding, especially here in the U.S., is declining for science.
Yeah.
Or it's becoming more competitive to get it. So the idea of industry-funded research is not new. And we're caught up in a system like, what does disclosure look like? In this case, there's a really good – I listen to KQED Forum a lot. It's our sort of public affairs show here in the Bay Area.
Michael Krasny.
And they had a conversation with the Wall Street Journal author and a researcher that was named in the actual report, and him rebutting what the author said and them going back and forth. And I think it's a really good listen. I'll put a link to the show note. There's this point in the conversation where the journalist is basically like, well, I think people should know about this. And the researcher's like, well, you're showing no nuance in the story. You're saying Google's funding this, so that could be bad. And he's like, but that's not how it actually works for me. Like, I didn't get a $400,000 check and go buy a Tesla. The university I worked for got a $400,000 check, and I got $30,000 of it to pay for a grad student for a year to conduct a study. And then I said, thanks to Google for supporting this grad student over this last year.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound so nefarious, but I think it brings up a really tough conversation about how comfortable we are with industry funding research.
I mean, somebody has to fund research. Research is why America is in the position it is today. And if the federal government isn't going to do it, then Google and other giant companies have to, because it isn't cheap.
The most thoughtful article I've read about it is from Adam Rogers, who I mentioned earlier. I'll put a link up to it. More Google. Jeremy, I feel like – you know how I hate mosquitoes. I hate mosquitoes.
Yeah, me too.
I'm allergic to them.
I didn't know that.
I'm allergic to the bites. I swallow. I have a big histamine response. And I get sick if there's usually like less than – around 5 bites I'll get sick. But
– wow, 5 bites? That sucks.
Yeah.
You live in the right place.
Yeah, I do. So what if I told you Google was releasing 20 million specially hacked bacteria into Fresno?
Fuck like Google,
later
man.
This year.
That's not okay.
This is from Verily, which is their life sciences division. They loaded up male mosquitoes with the Wolbachia bacteria.
Okay.
And Wolbachia has this way of when the male mosquitoes mate with the females, the bacteria transfers sexually to the female mosquito, and the bacteria infects their eggs. Essentially making them unable to reproduce.
So basically, we're committing genocide against this particular type of mosquito.
That's right. And so infecting the male mosquitoes, because male mosquitoes don't bite, ensure that there's no direct contact between that bacteria and humans, even though Wolbachia has been shown to have no interaction with us in any significant way. This is one of those, from a science standpoint, this is amazing. There's been reported cases of Zika in Fresno. So this is like a way to wipe it out because it's really targeting the Aedes aegypti species, which transmits Zika.
Well, and because the life cycle of mosquitoes is, 3 or 4 days, mm-hmm. then presumably this can have a massive impact in a relatively short period of time.
In a really short period of time.
Won't they have to keep releasing more male mosquitoes until they get all of the female mosquitoes, though?
Yeah, so that's why they're doing this 20 million release over like a 6-month to year-long period.
So what happens to the animals that, further down the food chain that feed off of all these millions of mosquitoes?
So Aedes aegypti only appeared in Fresno in 2013.
Okay.
So it's an invasive species, and so there's very little of it being part of the food web in that area.
Did they wipe out another species that was already there that was part of the food
web? They've been out-competing other mosquitoes.
Okay.
But, fuck mosquitoes.
But I mean, the bats are probably going to have issue with us fucking the mosquitoes.
So Wolbachia has been tested in bats and other species that eat it. So Wolbachia has been actually pretty well tested across.
But what else do the bats eat?
Yeah, well, I get that. How does it affect the greater food web?
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot of confidence from the scientists conducting the research.
There always is.
This is interesting because now it's Google doing it as opposed to an academic institution per se.
Yeah.
Even though it's a life science company. I don't know. We'll find out in 5 to 6 years when the papers come out about the impacts of this.
Have you ever read Paolo Baluchi's books?
No. I don't know who that is.
He's a science fiction writer. He writes about the collapse. His books almost always focus on the collapse of the food chain because of genetic engineering. Mm-hmm. It's interesting stuff. Drowned. Hold on. Let me. I'm going to forget the name of the books. Mm-hmm.
Paolo Baluchi. I'll look it up.
Yeah, sorry.
One last story, and this one's really built for our friend Jeremy Williams.
I hate mosquitoes.
No, this one's good. Good though. So the founder of the DeepMind project at Google. I'm going to get his name wrong. Let me look it up. It's Demis Hassabis. I probably murdered that name.
It's Bocchi Galupi. Sorry.
Okay.
And he wrote The Wind Up Girl.
But Demis Hassabis did a long interview for The Verge, which is really interesting, where he talked about AI mm-hmm. and where he thinks AI is going wrong. And one of his chief findings after being involved in DeepMind is he feels like AI in its current state is too niche. It's too algorithm-based. It's too easily tricked. And it has departed too much from neuroscience. So this idea of artificial intelligence rather than natural intelligence mm-hmm. in terms of what it's mimicking. And that departure has really caused problems when we want AI to get to the point of where it can do things like have memory and have creativity and have imagination, which are very human characteristics. And so
it's all coming from the guy behind Go, AlphaGo.
Yeah, which is a game that really has, according to a lot of the players, has
requires some of those skills.
Yeah. And so I thought it was a really interesting interview. It's a long form read. But this idea that where artificial intelligence needs to go is embodied cognition, the idea of being much more human than being the most exceptional intelligence in the world.
I'm wondering, as much as I engage with the Amazon Echo and Siri every day, I wouldn't consider those artificial intelligences.
No, I wouldn't even consider them intelligent.
And at some point in the future, there will be an AI that I can't engage with. And I'm just wondering, where's that line? And will it just be an extension of skills? Or will it be what you just described, which is more of just an embodiment of cognition?
I think our imagination gets away from ourselves. It's going to be the slow burn. We're going to get the iPhone first generation AI that's going to be like this. It inspires the imagination, but it has limited functionality in the real world.
How is that not the Echo?
Well, because the Echo is not intelligent. It's a linear design. You ask it a question, it searches the internet and gives you an answer. That's a search engine with a verbal interface.
But
how is having the internet at your disposal not just the same as having a big memory at your disposal?
Because it's not doing any actual meaningful processing but that a computer doesn't do.
that's the point, though, is that, you know, if it enhances our intelligence by letting us offload boring, tedious, easily computable things like memory, then is that, I mean, that's a valuable service, but it's not necessarily AI.
Yeah. I think AI is when it start when you start to get into complicated questions, when, like, I think C-3PO is much more the artificial intelligence I'm thinking about. It's that he's still there as a service droid, a helper that, like, helps process all these languages.
Enslaved.
But he's still reacting to emotional states. And he, you know, he makes suggestions. He's useless in points. He has, like, a human-like quality. I think that's the picture of AI we should have.
Is Hal an AI? An emotionless?
Sure.
Totally emotionless.
Well, I mean, clearly Hal had sentient thoughts towards the end of that movie. Mm-hmm. Spoilers.
I mean, I'm not sure. So C-3PO, the things that he responds to, does he have logical leaps? I'm trying to think.
But he's
I don't think he does.
But he was reading emotional states of the characters around him.
I'm going to go and tell you, reading emotional states of people that are speaking is easy. Because you can pick it up from timbre and pitch of voice and intensity and stuff like that. And if you can see facial expressions, things like eyebrow movement and eye movements and, you know, mouth shape are relatively easy to track as well.
All right. Well,
so like that's more cut and dried than you would think.
So I guess my question is, will we be fooled by a non-AI into believing that it's intelligent before we actually have an AI to interact
with? So I'm going to ask my four-year-old when we get home, because I'm curious what she thinks. If she thinks Alexa is smarter or dumber than the dog.
That's interesting.
Because we often talk about what's intelligent.
The dog is smarter than Alexa.
No
in
doubt.
My book.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I bet that she thinks Alexa's smarter because it can talk.
Can you quickly define the word smart?
Well, I would say there's a level of complexity for me to do this, raising my hand up, that Alexa can't even begin to consider
the dog can solve basic problems. Like if you put the food behind the bowl, mm-hmm. the dog will push the bowl out of the way to get to the food. Right? Mm-hmm. Like that stuff is easy, and that is incomprehensibly difficult for most robots.
But you saw the video last week of the AI learning to walk, right? With the three different models.
Yes,
the lower torso, humanoid, and spider.
But that was an AI for sure.
Yeah.
That, like, Alexa's not that. Like, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now.
Was an AI. That's what you're saying.
That was machine
learning.
The
Google thing.
The machine learning is what we're talking about. The Alexa uses machine learning to do voice recognition, but it does not do machine learning to solve problems. Same thing for the Google Assistant, same thing for Siri, same thing for all of that.
No.
It's a parlor trick. That's the takeaway on Alexa.
Now I'm really curious to know if our listeners think C-3PO is intelligent or not.
Where's the line between parlor trick and AI?
Well, I mean, can it solve problems? I think that's the difference.
I think with enough parlor tricks, you can.
I think that it is a big leap between the Mechanical Turk and, I mean, R2-D2 solves problems, but maybe he's just repairing things. Maybe he just has a big database of things that he can fix.
This is what happens anytime we have an AI conversation. I feel like I'm looking at one of those, like, 3D images, and my eyes cross, and my mind expands.
I really wish I had taken more cognitive science classes when I was in college. I mean, not that they would have been much use now, but...
Yeah.
This is the perfect segue.
I'd have the background.
In our next segment, though.
The VR Minute. Virtual reality this week.
Let's talk Knuckles.
I got my Knuckles.
Boom.
I was up in Seattle a few weeks ago and went and stopped by Valve and showed them what we were working on and said, oh, by the way, if you guys have any spare Knuckles controllers, we would love to test them out. Would you send me some? And then they did.
Wow.
So you have one pair?
I'm probably not going to say.
Okay. You have at least one pair.
Yes, we have more than one pair.
Okay.
We got a shocking number of Knuckles controllers when I told them what we were going to use them for that
so
I can't talk about.
Let's start with some of the basics. How comfortable are they?
Shockingly comfortable. You guys haven't tried them at all?
Okay. No.
I would have brought a pair in if I'd known that. So the first thing you know is that there's an elastic band inside that hoop. So you've seen the picture. There's a stretchy neoprene thing.
Yeah.
And you can. And I'm not NDA'd on this, also, just FYI, so I'm not breaking any rules before anybody
just
asks.
To set it up, this is the Valve equivalent of the Oculus Touch controller.
It goes a step further than that.
Well, I'm just saying that it is that style of holding a controller.
So they have a definitive correct way to place them on your hands, so you'll know what your wrist and hand orientation is, whereas with the current Vive wands, you can hold them, you know, like a sword hilt, you can hold them kind of like a magic wand with a kind of tilting forward kind of motion. There's a bunch of different ways you can hold them. With these, you jam your hand in between a hard plastic grip and a neoprene kind of stretchy elastic holder. And then once you've done that, you don't have to actually grip them to keep them in your hand, which differentiates them from the Oculus Touch controllers.
So it grips your hand rather than you having to grip
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And the grip kind of goes, I'm not exactly sure what the proper way to hold them is, but it goes kind of between the gap between your thumb and your forefinger. Down the line in your palm to the heel of your hand.
Comfortable?
Yeah, very comfortable, I would say. It's weird to not hold them. Like, it takes a little while to get used to that. So on the inside of the grip where your ring finger, your pinky and your middle finger touch, there's capacitive sensors that are sensitive enough to tell when there's one, two, or three fingers hitting. They also are sensitive enough that it seems like they detect a little bit early, so the movement starts just a little bit before you touch.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the idea that it can detect how much of your finger is laid so that it can almost do an analog?
I haven't looked at what you get out of it yet, but it seems like that might be the case.
Okay.
There's some interesting stuff happening there. There's some calibration that you do pretty much every time you put them on,
mm-hmm.
just by opening and closing your hand a few times. And as you do that while you're using them, then the calibration gets better and better and better.
Hmm.
There's a trigger under your index finger that's the basically feels like a longer throw version of the Vive controller trigger with a detent at the end.
Okay.
There's a thumb pad that is a deeper well and is clickier and kind of moves more than the first gen Vive trackpad controllers. It's not as flat as the first gen controller. And then there's two face buttons on either side of that and a Steam controller button underneath.
So what takes the place of the grip button?
The three finger capacitive sensor.
The capacitive sensor.
So, well, okay, so you can set the controllers in different modes. In the default tracking fingers mode, you grip things by grabbing them by putting your fingers on the circle pad. I think the buttons are capacitive too, I can't remember. The trigger is capacitive in addition to being mechanical. And then so you grab things by literally picking them up. By picking up the controller, by touching your fingers to the controller.
I mean, that's the cool innovation of that strap, is it allows you to actually let go of things.
Yeah. So you can throw.
With every other controller, you're always holding it.
Well, and because it's capacitive, it's a clear, like, I can almost juggle with it, which I couldn't do with the triggers, because it's unclear when the trigger shifts from being a grip to
right.
off based because of the long throw. And you need more precision with that, the catch, or you need to cheat a little bit.
Does any part of you wish that they made that D-pad, or whatever they're calling that touchpad, an analog stick like on the touch controller?
No.
Okay. I prefer the analog stick.
As a developer, the way doing radial menus with an analog stick is way less easy to train users
mm-hmm.
than it is to show them a circle and say touch in the top right quadrant to do this, the lower right quadrant to do this, on and so forth.
I think you're right, there's a trade-off, and some UIs are going to be better for one and better for the other, but what I like about the analog stick is that it is naturally a haptic feedback. That actually moving the stick is its own very rudimentary sense of feedback.
Having done hundreds of VR demos, mostly on the Vive, a small subset on the Rift with touch, the people who don't play games and don't have experience with gamepads are totally have a hard time with the stick and the pad they all get because they're used to touch interfaces. Mm-hmm. Everybody understands touch interfaces now, and only gamers understand sticks. So mm-hmm. like I think that's a pretty clear difference in who they're targeting. Between Oculus
there's HTC. Also a stop at the end of the throw.
The difference on the cone, it is a very pronounced cone on these new controllers.
Right.
So you have like that becomes really clear, and you get good feedback about where your thumbs are. So one of the things that changes with this, the only thing that supports it natively, I think now, is the Steam VR Home beta, you know, that their little house thing that you could get in and explore.
Yeah, I don't think it's beta anymore, is it? It's just the normal.
I don't know. I've been on the beta branch of Steam VR for so long. I have no idea. But you you see hands instead of a controller on Steam VR with this.
Okay,
which is new.
Interesting. Only with that.
So yeah, I mean it's interesting. They're a little bit fiddly. The setup process was what you would expect with kind of beta hardware. There's a lot of installing drivers and updating firmwares, and some of that's a little fiddlier than you might like. The calibration is really interesting because you literally have it on your hand and you release one second on, one second off, and each time you can see it get better because your fingers start out kind of gnarled and nightmarish, and then by the third one they're usually in pretty good shape. And if it doesn't pick up by the third one, you just keep doing it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. I'll bring them in sometime.
So in terms of incorporating it into your does it come with? I assume that Valve just has a Unity asset that you drop in, and you can automatically get a demo up and running pretty quickly.
So my dev just got his this morning. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to him about what the process is, but I mean, my assumption is that you put the beta version of the SDK in, and the Steam stuff just works. Yeah, yeah. What I will say is that even though these look like they're relatively handmade still. Like the sensors, the tracking sensors are all exposed just like they were on the early dev kit Vives that we started with in November of 2015 or September of 2015.
Yeah.
This hardware feels much better than that stuff did.
Oh, it seemed exceptionally positive. You've had them for a short period of time?
Got them on Friday. So yeah.
Oh, so it's only been a couple of
days. Yeah, so I mean, I'll know more. Next time I see you guys, I'll know more because we're implementing them for something that's happening in the first week of August.
Cool.
Well, I spent all of yesterday playing Lone Echo.
Ooh. I feel like we're going to lose you to that universe.
Well, that's different. Like, Echo Arena and Lone Echo, two different things. But you're right. Mm. You're right. It's a universe.
How is it, Jeremy? Single player?
So, it's a must play. And I would say, if you want the best experience, don't listen to anything I have to say. Don't read any reviews. Just play it.
How much is it?
It's $40. But it comes with Echo Arena.
I put 250 hours in PUBG and it was $30.
But it's early. I mean,
no.
Yeah, we can't compare.
I know. I'm just. Is this a rent it or a buy it? Is what I'm asking you, Jeremy.
Yeah, go to a Blockbuster and rent Lone Echo.
How many stars?
So Lone Echo is in a class of its own. First of all, the fact that the whole Echo Arena going free for 3 months complicates things because if that wasn't free. And you got Echo Arena and Lone Echo for $40, which, by the way, you do in a matter of speaking, because after 90 days, if you buy Lone Echo, it comes with Echo Arena.
Yeah, but okay, so I don't care about that. Like,
I'm just saying
if they didn't make Echo Arena free, there would be nobody to play Echo Arena long term.
No. I get it, and it's wonderful for the player base, but in terms of the cost proposition for what you're getting for $40, the two of those combined is a no-brainer. Absolutely. It's sort of like the Orange Box without the third SKU.
Without
it's
just Portal, like, the best part of the Orange
Portal,
Box.
Fine, yeah. Or without, Episode 2 or Episode 1.
The worst part of the Orange Box.
So that complicates things for the next 90 days. Yes. But, Lone Echo, the single-player game, is in a class of its own. It is a very mesmerizing, incredibly immersing adventure game. It's not an action game. If you're going into this hoping to shoot guns... You're going to be disappointed.
Is it all zero gravity?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, and so if you play the Echo Arena beta, you get the locomotion mechanic, which is absolutely bar none the best I've ever experienced.
I mean, that to me is probably that makes me think that this might be like the Mario 64 of hands games.
Is the story good?
The story is really good. Like, this is a character-driven game, which is a challenge, but interesting application for VR because of the... the sense that you get of other people,
voice acting and stuff is good.
The voice acting is really good. Okay. But I like Zelda voice acting, so maybe I'm not the best judge of voice acting for that.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
but no, I think the voice acting is very good. I don't want to give too much away about the story, but it's compelling and stuff happens. Well, however, it is a very slow paced adventure game. Where you are experiencing a very highly rich, detailed science fiction universe, where you're engaging with user interfaces and learning how things work, and existing in this world as a robot, and you are a subservient robot for this entire game, and it's a super compelling experience. I think it's a must play.
Huh.
Do we know how many levels, quote unquote, there is?
Levels to Lone Echo?
To the game. Like, do you know how long of a
like in terms of
is?
Length?
Yeah.
I was told you could speed run it in 4 hours. I think that is generous. I think in terms of that would be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For me, it was close to 6 or 7 hours.
Oh, you finished it though?
Yeah.
6 hours for a $40 game is totally reasonable.
But I can't tell you, like, you know, like 2001 isn't for everybody. Like, it's a slow movie.
It's deliberate.
It's a deliberately slow movie. But it is also a Hallmark landmark movie.
It's one of the masters of cinema, yeah.
So and I'm not saying that this is the 2001 of video games, but it is that kind of thing where if you go into it and you want to chill out and just explore a universe which is highly detailed and refined where the special effects are just phenomenal.
Wait, is this game a walking simulator? Is this like that Firewatch bullshit? You just float around and see some stuff?
I think it's going to be compared to a Drift, but it's much better than a Drift.
Okay.
Much better. I
love walking
But honestly, you'll play this game.
Just for people who don't know me. I
know
you
did.
They're fun games.
You'll play this game probably once, maybe twice if you want to be a completionist. But the Echo Arena is where it's at.
Getting the disc. Getting slap happy with those discs.
Did you hop in the beta while
no,
it was
I
out?
Haven't had a Rift hookup in a while. It's a pain in the ass to switch back and forth.
It is the killer app.
Okay.
I think a lot of there are people in the game. I swear to God, I played that beta almost every day, and every day a new person would come in, they'd spawn in the lobby, and they'd say, "What is this? This game caught me completely by surprise. This is amazing."
When I played it at Oculus Connect last year, I was blown away. Right? I was really impressed, more by the locomotion than anything.
Yes.
But I'll have to plug a Rift in and fire it up. Give it a try.
If it's the only game that you could play on the Rift, I would buy a Rift. It's phenomenal.
Well, the Rift's only $400 now, so it's a much lower investment than it used to be.
You heard it here first. Lone Echo is the 2001 of VR games.
I thought he said
Jeremy
Jason
Williams. All right, there's a few other VR AR games that have been announced. Let's fire through them real quick. Blade Runner, Replicant Pursuit. Isn't that a VR game? Yeah, that's an Oculus VR game.
Yeah.
That just got announced at Comic-Con, right?
It just got announced. There's nothing, we know nothing about it.
We see scenes from, like, screen grabs from inside the game.
It will be for Gear VR and Rift, coming out around the film's premiere in October.
I haven't been real high on any of these movie release VR experiences. I haven't had a good one yet.
Yeah.
So, here's hoping for something different.
I guess so. I don't know.
It's Blade Runner.
You know, I think there's a lot of potential for Ready Player One to have the most amazing thing. But
if they put down the money for it.
Yeah.
Game Face.
I don't know. I didn't put that on there. I don't know what this
Game
is.
Face VR? No, is this a norm from afar? Is like hacking our...
I didn't put anything on here. Is Game Face that thing that lets that fox guy be on Twitch? The dog? The talking dog? I love the talking dog.
This is an integrated headset that can run on all three platforms. Oculus, Daydream, and Steam VR.
What?
It's made by Game Face Labs. And it looks like a welder's mask.
It looks pretty metal.
Yeah.
It looks really heavy, actually.
I mean, how much of a difference does that make to you to have hardware that can run on all three platforms?
Well, there's four platforms, five platforms, because there's PlayStation, there's Vive, there's Oculus, there's Gear VR, there's Daydream.
So how important is it for you to have a cross-platform hardware?
I mean, that would be really nice, assuming it isn't a bad experience on all of them or most of them. I'm skeptical of anybody who claims to have a good experience on multiple platforms at this point.
Even if it's just Vive and Oculus?
I've used Revive.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Right.
It's fiddlier than I'm willing to deal with.
All right. We'll revisit this again. Star Wars announced an AR app sponsored by Lenovo.
Oh, yeah. It's not an app. It's a game.
It's a game. Sorry.
So it comes with this headset. It looks like it comes with a lightsaber.
I like lightsabers.
It's a tracked lightsaber that looks like a PlayStation Move, but it's a lightsaber hilt.
It looks like a lightsaber hilt. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I don't know.
This is presumably, is this a standalone toy or is this something that's going to be like an installation?
No, I think it's a standalone toy. And it's going to come with holochess.
Oh, Jajarik's going to be part of this? That's cool.
Yeah.
And not just lightsaber battles? I mean, you
say, hold on, wait. not just lightsaber battles, Kishore.
Yeah.
What happened to your inner child? What happened to the young Kishore inside you?
Like, lightsaber battles are going to take a lot of energy, and sometimes you need to just sit down and play a little Dejarik.
We're 15 years. Remember when that poor kid got the picture of him playing lightsabers in his garage with a broomstick, and it ruined his life?
Star Wars kid.
Yeah, it's a sad story. It ruined his life.
It did for a while.
He was fucked up about it for a long time.
Yeah.
Now we're reaching a point where you're going to pay money for a toy that lets you do exactly that same thing in your own privacy of your own home. And I think Star Wars Kid is the hero we all need now to drive this marketing campaign forward.
That would be great.
They dig that guy up and have him. He didn't look cool, but he had moves.
Oh, fair enough.
People made him look cool.
He had practiced a routine.
People did all that
really composite work. He had a hard time because of it.
I know.
At D23, Oculus announced a Marvel VR game, which is a character-based sim where you get to jump in as like the Hulk and play multiplayer. You can be Rocket.
Can I be Wolverine?
I didn't see Wolverine in the initial thing. But they had like randos in there, like Captain Marvel is in there.
It's not a rando.
Yeah, his name is getting a movie.
You heard Captain, you thought he.
I did. I
know.
I gendered that.
Oh.
Well, isn't Captain Marvel the, what's her name, from the TV show? Isn't she Captain Marvel?
What TV show are you talking about? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No. The other one. The other ones. The Netflix ones.
The
Daredevil.
Defenders?
Daredevil.
And the woman whose name I can't remember.
Jessica Jones.
Isn't she Captain Marvel?
No.
I thought she was Captain Marvel.
No. We're talking about Carol Danvers here.
Okay. So Norm and I played this actually on Tuesday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. We went to an Oculus event where we were... privileged to play this game, and it's right now they've announced Rocket Raccoon, Captain Marvel, the Hulk, and I always want to say Daredevil. It's the R-rated movie.
Punisher?
No, the other one that starts with
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Ah.
Deadpool is...
The merc with the mouth.
Snarky.
But by release, they're going to have 12.
I was really stoked that they got Green Lantern in that Deadpool movie. Pretty cool.
How was the game, though?
It was a brawler. So you're... there's a...
Like an X-Men arcade game
style
X-Men brawler?
Go right, everyone beat up stuff, brawler style.
So when you're wearing the goggles, what do you see? You see like a top-down view of this diorama?
No, I just mean it's like if everybody's free-for-all beaten but everybody up, you're going to get through the game, as far as we can tell. It's early.
But you're punching with the Oculus Touch controllers?
I don't mean it like that. I just mean like in the sense that like there's not a class-based role-playing game where you got your healer and your tank and...
Oh, you don't have the Holy Trio.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more of just like everybody's very powerful. There are some characters who have more health than others. Obviously, Hulk is a powerful character.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like the class-based stuff. Even like Rec Room where we have the distance guys and the brawler guys up front, the melee guys.
Okay.
And it's because it's Marvel, everybody's got a lot of, there's nobody who's really weak.
But it's like a first-person dungeon crawl.
But everybody, what neat thing is that your perspective scales to the character. So if I'm Rocket Raccoon, I really am tiny.
Okay.
If you're Hulk, you're bigger than anybody.
That's cool.
And they do that by adjusting the height as well as the IPD of the character so that the scale of the world actually seems to change.
Yeah, if you change the IPD of the character, you make a normal size room feel tiny. It's really cool.
Yeah. So it's neat. And like Rocket can hover. It's got a jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
The locomotion is free-flowing, so you actually move through the world.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a lot of fun.
That's cool. All right, let's go on to our last segment.
Okay.
Testing this week. Hey, what have you guys been testing?
All right, we got a random assortment of collections, mostly because Will hasn't been on for a while. Will, how do you stay so comfortable as you're Twitch streaming?
Well, Kishore, I have. It's time for me to get a new office chair, and I don't really want to spend the money to get the office chair that I want right now because I'm working at home. I'm spending a lot more time in my home office chair than I have for the last 15 years, and my Herman Miller reaction chair has reached the end of its usable life. The padding is not so good anymore, and I sit there for 7, 8, 10 hours a day between my full-time job working on Foo and then my secondary job as a professional Twitch streamer in the evenings, pubgin around the world. So I saw an ad for something the other day called the Purple Ass Mat. It's not really called the AssMat, but it's a purple mattress technology cushion for your chair.
Like Purple Mattress, the company?
Like Purple Mattress, the internet mattress company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can get this cushion and put it on your chair, and it's supposed to make your ass more comfortable as you're sitting in your chair for extended periods of time. I got mixed reviews. I've only had it for a day. Came yesterday. It's very comfortable. It's a little slidier than I would have liked. Like, the bottom surface sticks to the chair pretty well, but the top surface, if I'm wearing jeans, there's no room for slouching at all with this thing.
What are you talking about? Can I see an image of this?
Yeah. I'll
What do people Google?
Purple Royal Cushion, I think is what it was called.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's that same sort of like wedge, like kind of grid technology.
Yeah, it's like a hexagonal grid or a square jelly grid of things. Yeah, and it feels really good. Like it's very comfortable. It's the Royal is the one that I got because it was on sale. But it's got this mesh, this cloth cover around it. And one side's sticky, so it sticks on your office chair. The other one's not. It's a little bit too thick for my chair, I think, is the problem. I think I might have maybe should have gotten not the Royal. I'm like 50-50 on sending it back right now. I'm going to give it a couple more days. It's definitely my butt was less tired at the end of a long day yesterday. But I think looking at it as like a tenth of the way to the chair that I would like to buy, I think I'd rather just put that money back on Amazon and save for another, you know, few months and get the chair.
There's an excellent – I bought an office chair, Herman Miller chair, from a used office furniture place.
Down south. I told you about that, I think.
No, actually in Berkeley.
Oh.
And they have a nice selection.
Snap.
Wow.
Yeah. So that – I think I know what store you're talking about. I bought my like a standing desk. Like one that's
– Yeah.
Has pneumatics in it.
Kind of so, near IKEA.
Yeah.
In Emeryville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to go to a place down in San Jose that was this similar thing. You'd go into a room and it was just filled with Aeron chairs from defunct startups.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. You could get an Aeron for like $400, which is essentially half price at the time.
It's a good deal.
Anything else, Will, that you've been testing out?
You know, I bought my squeezy window suction cup car mount for carrying my phone when I'm in a rental car or something, or in my car, I guess. Finally, like, I broke the bottom off of it and my phone kept sliding out, so I went to Wirecutter to see what I should get. And I went and bought a TechMat MagGrip CD slot magnetic universal car mount holder for smartphones, including the iPhone 7, 6, 6S, Galaxy 7, 7 S7 Edge in black. It is a wonderful piece of technology.
I have a magnetic car mount, too. It's the best thing.
So you put a little metal disc either on a stick-on sticker on the back of your phone.
Mine is underneath this Winnipeg Jets sticker.
Mine's under the case because I don't like hockey. And you then just jam it on the dashboard, and it sticks right there. It's a super strong magnet in the thing. You're not putting a magnet on your phone, so you don't have to worry about wiping your credit cards out. And it is incredibly convenient and really good. And the CD mount one worked better than the ones that stick into your car vents, because with the car, like, basically there's two styles. One is that you jam it into the slots in the car vent, and there's like grippy things that hold onto those. This one, you put a thing into the CD mount and twist a screw until it locks in place. That worked much better for me because the car vent one kept pulling off when I would take the phone off.
My wife has a car vent one. Same thing. I got one that just had a sticky on the end, and I just stuck it on sort of a bare part of the car.
I have a Ford, so the knurled dashboard does not work with sticky stuff. And then I ordered Comcast Gigabit last night, so I'll let you know how that goes. It was like $40 extra over my 250 megabit service.
So it's like close to $100 a month then, something like that.
No, I was paying... Look, it's Comcast, but who really knows what you're paying? Yeah. It was expensive. It is not the $50 a month that you pay Sonic in the city if you want synchronous gigabit service.
40.
Cool.
Fuck. It's $35. It's 35 megabits up, gigabit down, DOCSIS 3.1.
Wow.
When do you get it?
As soon as the modem arrives. So tomorrow, I think.
That's cool.
Nice. Jeremy, anything on your list?
Probably. I don't know.
All right.
I'm working on it. On an Echo Arena disc, another version. Actually, somebody tweeted to me after the last episode. Mm-hmm. They had modeled it, and then they revamped the model. It looks pretty great. And so I think we're going to make a 3D printed shell that'll go around the laser cut interior.
I think you should also try some of the different glues that people suggested too. If you didn't read the
glues
comments.
For acrylics,
yeah,
I have some acrylic cement that I got.
Oh, good!
Acrylic cement's amazing. It's really cool.
I was down I was with hanging out with Alan Pan yesterday. He runs a YouTube channel called Sufficiently Advanced. You might know him from he built a Mjolnir that had a strong electromagnet that wouldn't be released unless like
he had an RFID or something.
Yeah, he had a thumbprint scanner actually.
That's
on it.
Awesome.
And so he set it to random, and so like some people could lift it and some people couldn't.
That's really good.
He's great. I got to try out. He just built a handheld punch activated flamethrower, which was great. He basically rigged up a system that had an accelerometer in it, so as you threw a punch, it would spray out a mist of butane and then have an electrical igniter and start a fireball.
That sounds perfectly safe.
Everyone should have that.
Well, it's based out of something with The Last Airbender. So I think he's trying to create like
over 9,000.
Yeah, I think you can probably buy that in the kids aisle right next to this. Star Wars AR game.
It was cool. If you didn't watch the premium series that had Alan in it, I think last week, he's a real fun guy. He was on the Mythbusters Search show for a while, and he builds a lot of cool random stuff and a lot of fun. So shout out to Alan and his channel. I think that's about it for us this week. I think Norm will be back next week. Lots of San Diego Comic-Con stuff will probably be flooding the channel, including Adam's Incognitos and probably some one-day builds related to those Incognitos. I actually don't even know. Do you guys know? I know one of them.
I don't know
what I'm allowed to talk about and what I'm not allowed to talk about. No. Jeremy's done with the show, though. That's what I know.
Jeremy is
done.
We have an episode of Projections coming out we shot at the Marvel event, so there's more details about that.
Cool.
Norm should be posting that tomorrow. And there's also in the same video an interview with Nate Mitchell. So that's going to be a good episode of Projections.
Awesome. And cool. I think part two of my visit to CERN is going up with Science and Progress shortly. It should be up soon. Thanks, everyone, to watching. Do we have an outro this week?
We do, from Micro Apple.
Hi there. I didn't see you.
Tested.
I think it warrants an inception bump.
Oh. Okay.
Wow.
I think you play the inception bump for that.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
See ya.
Bye.